This week's Sedra, we have the episode of Bilam riding on his female donkey, and the Malach comes and appears to the donkey, not to Bilam, and the donkey swerves from the path three times. Once it goes into a field, second time into a vineyard where there is a fence on either side, and the third time into a place where it can't move left or right, and crushes Bilam's foot into the wall. And Bilam hits the donkey three times. And Rashi says that God hinted to Bilam through the donkey, because the donkey then says to Bilam, "Why did you hit me three times? Shalosh regalim." And the doesn't say just shalosh pa'amim, but shalosh regalim, to hint to Bilam, you are desiring to uproot a nation that celebrates three regalim in the year. You're not going to be successful. Very nice, but what's the deeper meaning over here? Why was that the specific mitzvah that God hints to Bilam, and why through the donkey and hitting the donkey that the Jewish people keep three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in the year, and therefore Bilam is not going to be successful in trying to curse them and uproot them? So let me tell you what I think. Quite a few ideas here, and they're interrelated. First of all, why are they called Shalosh Regalim? Okay. We find the same exact terminology in another place. When God tells Moshe Rabbeinu after the sin of the golden calf that I will destroy the Jewish people, ve'aseh oschoi l'goy gadol, and I'll make you into a great nation. We'll start the Jewish people with you, and we'll erase everything that came until now, and you'll be the father of this new nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kisei shel gimel regalim, a chair with three legs couldn't stand. How's a chair with one leg going to stand? Meaning, if the Jewish people, who are based on three legs, the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they had to be obliterated, then if a nation's going to start with one leg, with one father, me, how's it going to be able to continue to exist? How's it going to be able to survive? So what do we see? Shalosh regalim is a euphemism for the Avos. They are the three legs of the foundation of the Jewish people. So that represents the fact that we keep three regalim, and we'll see that the three regalim represent each one of the Yomim Tovim is represented by another one of the Avos. Avraham Avinu is Pesach, Shavuos is Yitzchak, and Yaakov Avinu is Sukkot. So the three regalim represent the essence of the Avos. We'll explain why as we go on. There's another idea of these three regalim as being the essence of the Jewish people. And that's what God was hinting to Bilam. I'm telling you what the essence of this people is, and therefore they stand on three regalim, on three Avos that are manifested by the three holidays, but it's also manifested another way. These three pillars, or these three roots, legs of the Jewish people, represent the three kinds of Kedusha that one can have. Kedusha Sazman, right, the holiness of time. Kedusha Makom, the holiness of place. And Kedusha Ha'adam, the Kedusha of the person who sanctifies himself and all of his physical and material possessions. Those are the three kinds of holiness. Holiness of a person, holiness of time, holiness of place. And the Yomim Tovim include all of them. They are holy times where we go up three times a year to the holy place, and we take all of our physical material possessions and elevate them to God, is the holiness of the person and his possessions. Because on Yontif, the Samachta b'chagecha applies to all the physical things, become mitzvahs of eating, drinking, and being besimcha. So we have the holiness of the person, the holiness of time and the holiness of place. Okay. And in addition, what's it called? The Jew, by combining all these various holinesses, comes to see God, elevate himself, right? Meaning being cognizant of God's presence in the most intense way. That's what Aliyah L'Regel is. Liros es Pnei Hashem, to see the face of God, and Leiraos, to be seen, and to be reckoned and assessed by God. So this is the time when Klal Yisrael, when the Jewish people, come face to face with God every year. And where do we get this from? From the Akedah. This is where Avram Avinu called the place where he was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak, Har Hashem Yeroeh. This is the mountain where Jews will ascend three times a year and be seen by God and see God. So this is the essence of our relationship with God. It represents the essence of the Jewish people vis-a-vis the Avos. It represents the essence of the Jewish people vis-a-vis our attachment and connection to God, because by being holy and sanctifying time, place, and person, that's how we attach ourselves to God. And the Shem Yishmuel adds a dimension to this. And you, Bilam, you couldn't even see an angel. Your animal saw it. You couldn't see it. And you want to uproot a people who can see God, figuratively speaking. The no, that's the Meshech Chochma says this. You couldn't even see the angel, and you want to uproot a people who can actually have an attachment and see and be seen by God? What the Shem Yishmuel says is the following, that Aliyah L'Regel necessitates the ability of the Jew to be willing to give up all his property, leave his home, leave it vulnerable, and know that he may come back and it may be taken. He said, we have a promise that God says nobody will take our land when we come up three times a year. But everybody has to come up. All the males and the women come along and the children come along. So we leave our entire country vulnerable to anybody just to come and take it. But a person is willing to give up everything physical and material in this world to go and see God, to have an attachment. This is a nation that you want to destroy, that you think you're going to be able to destroy. Look what an attachment they have with the Rabbanu Shalom. So basically, bottom line is that the three regalim represent the idea of the essence of the Jewish people, both reflected in our avos, the shalosh regalim of the Jewish people, and in what's it called, the essence of our holiness that combines time, place, and person, and possessions. Okay. Now, another aspect of this is that this represents the fact that the Jewish people are not only holy spiritually, but even our physical side is holy. And that's what Aliyah L'Regel is. Normally, the shoe represents the physical world. And when we want to maintain a spiritual posture, we take off our shoes. Shal na'alecha, it's holy ground, take your shoes off. The deeper idea why that is the case, why the shoe represents the physical world, the foot of the person, the regel represents physicality, the head represents spirituality, but the Maharal says it's because we're compared to trees. The root of the tree is rooted in the place where it is kavua, where it's set. The limbs extend up, right? The limbs are not the main thing of the tree. The limbs can be cut off and the tree can regenerate. But if the roots are cut off, the tree is dead. So if you look at a tree, it's similar to a human being, except for one thing. We're upside down. We're standing on our limbs and our root is up. If we want to really look like a tree, right, our hair is like the root hairs. That should be in the ground. And our limbs, feet, and hands should be up. Then we look like a tree. So why are we an upside down tree? Because we're not rooted in the physical world. We're rooted in the heavens. Our root faces where our real place of growth is, the heavens. We happen to be standing on our legs in this world because it's a physical world. So the leg represents the physicality of a person, while the root is spiritual. Okay, and that's why when we want to maintain a spiritual posture, we cover our heads to show that this is the root. In a plant, the root's covered and the limbs are uncovered. But since we live in a physical world, our roots are down. Our limbs are down. They give the impression that that's our roots, but it's not. And we cover them with shoes. So in a time when you want to show that you're really a spiritual being, you uncover your feet and cover your head, and that shows spirituality. On Yom Kippur, we do that. A person who's mourning, who wants to get close to the soul of the departed one, does that. In other cases, we take off a person's shoes by chalitza, where the brother doesn't want to marry the sister-in-law, the widow of his dead brother, and to give a continuation of the neshama. He doesn't want to relate to the neshama. He doesn't want to be spiritual, so we make him be spiritual. Take off his shoes. So those are the case of taking off the shoes. And then we become like a tree that is really, we know where our root is and where our limbs are. The root is covered and the limbs are uncovered. And that's why on Yom Tov it says the following, though. On Shalosh Regalim it says, Mayofu po'amayich ba'ne'olim basnodiv. How beautiful are your footsteps in your shoes when you come, aliyah l'regel, when you make that pilgrimage on the three Yomim Tovim, Bas Nadiv, the daughter of Avram Avinu, who was the first convert. Now, what in the world does that mean? So let me tell you what I think it means. Normally, in order to be beautiful and holy and spiritual, we take off our shoes. But on Shalosh Regalim, we have the ability to take the physical world and transform it into spirituality. Because then eating and drinking and all the physical things become mitzvahs. They become spiritual. So then we're beautiful even in our shoes. Now where do we get the ability to transform physical material things into spiritual things? From Avraham Avinu. Because he transformed the most physical material thing into the most spiritual thing, his neshama of a goy. He was a goy, he was the first convert. And he was the most physical and he changed it into the most spiritual. So if he had the power to do that, we, his descendants, have the power to turn the physical into spiritual and to be beautiful even in our shoes. And that holiness, right, that we have to be able to transform the physical world into spirituality comes from Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, right, was extended through Yitzchak and Yaakov. Really, everything was contained in Avraham. It came out potentially. It came out actually through Yitzchak and Yaakov, right, in the actual. Okay? So all the midos of Avraham Avinu, right, were potential by him and became actual, each one through one through Yitzchak, one through Yaakov. What does that mean? What are the midos, the basic midos of the Jewish people? Basic midos of the Jewish people is Rachmonim, Baishonim, Gomlei Chasodim. We are kind, we do chesed, we are merciful, and we are ashamed. We are have the ability to be embarrassed. Okay? Those are the three midos of the Jewish people. And each one relates to a different ath. Avraham Avinu, obviously, was the source of Gomlei Chasodim, chesed. Yitzchak Avinu is Yira, is fear of heaven, is represented by shame, embarrassment. When you're ashamed, it holds you back from doing averis. When you're ashamed to do something that is not appropriate, and that's why it says, "L'man tia yiras Hashem al paneichem," and by Matan Torah, God appeared to us with that tremendous show of His presence on Har Sinai, in order that we should have the fear of God on our face. And the Gemara says that is the ability to be ashamed. Embarrassed. And Rachamim comes from Yaakov Avinu. Rachamim is mercy. Hashem Yitain Lachem Rachamim. God should give you mercy. And Rachamim, we'll see, is also a function of the Torah. The Torah is called Rachamana, the merciful one. The Torah gives us mercy, gives us the ability to live in this world in a way that we benefit from the world. That's mercy. Now, by Avraham Avinu, there were three other midos that he had that correspond to these, except they were in the potential, and they were brought out actually in this way. What are the three midos of Avraham Avinu? So it says in Pirkei Avos, and they're contrasted to Bilam. Whoever has these three midos is a Talmid of Avraham Avinu, because these things were potential by Avraham, and if you learn them from him, you can bring them out like a student. And if you have the opposite midos, you're a Talmid of Bilam. He had them all potentially, and if you bring them out, you're a student of his. What are they? Nefesh Rechava, right? A broad desire, lust. That's lust. Ruach Gavoa, high spirit. That's covet, right? Honor, gaiva, and ayin ra. And, yeah, what's it called? These are the ones of Bila, right? Nefesh Rechava, ayin ra, and ruach gavoa. They are the qualities of Bilam, and the opposite are the qualities of Avraham Avinu. Nefesh Shvela, a lowly desire, the opposite of lust, being satisfied with what you have, not being lustful. That's called Nefesh Shvela. Ruach Nemucha, a lowly spirit, humble, not haughty, like Bilam. And Ayin Tov, and a good eye. Now, if you think about it, these qualities manifest themselves in the exact qualities of the others. Ayin Tova, a good eye, is about chesed. A person's not jealous of other people, right? Well, just the opposite. What's it called? Let's see. An ayin tova, or ayin ra, is where you are jealous of other people. Okay? Jealousy of other people and wanting to harm them is the opposite of of kina. Okay, having a good eye is the opposite of being jealous. Okay, and ruach gavoa is gaiva. Okay, that's haughtiness. And nefesh shefela is taiva. Those are the three major roots of sin: kina, taiva, covet. Okay, so person who's haughty has covet. Person who's lustful, right, who's, what's it called, has a broad desire, desirous nefesh, right, soul. So he's a person who's lustful. That is taiva. And the person who's, what's it called, has an eye in raw, bad eye, is jealousy, kina. So kina, taiva, and kavod, those are the roots of sin. Now, if you think about it, the midos that the Jewish people have, in actuality, we are baishanim, we have the ability to be, what's it called, ashamed and embarrassed. With that we get from Yitzchak Avinu, okay, Yiras Hashem on our face, and that corresponds to, what's it called, to not being a balgaiva. You're a mavuyish, you're embarrassed. You're not a haughty person, just the opposite. You're a meek, what's it called, person who's easily ashamed. That's the opposite of being haughty. And then there is Rachmanim, right? You're a merciful person. You don't have a bad eye. You're not a person who's looking to harm other people with your eye and being jealous or whatever. That's Rachmanim. And Gomlei Chasadim, you give to others. You're not taking everything for yourself. You're not a lustful person who wants everything for himself. You're a person who's a giver, not a taker. So it comes out that the midos of the avos, baishanim, rachmanim, gomlei chasadim, correspond to the potential midos of Avraham Avinu, nefesh shvela, ruach nemucha, and ayin tova. They correspond one to the other. And all of them correspond to kina, taiva, and kavod, which are the foundations of sin. And Bilam has the three that are the negative. Avraham, in potential, has the three that are the positive, and they manifest themselves and come out through the avos of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Lamaisa, in Avraham, they came out Lamaisa in Chesed, in Yitzchak in Yira, which is Busha, and not being haughty, and in Yaakov in being a Rachamon and being what's it called, not a person who has a ayin ra, but an ayin tova, right? Because he's merciful, and that's the opposite of kina, the opposite of jealousy. So it all meshes together. And now, the let's go put one more ingredient here, and then we'll see what it has to do with the Shalosh Regalim, with Yontif. Okay, so we have three basic root midos of the Jewish people that manifest themselves in two ways. One as the midos of Avraham Avinu in the potential, the other in the actual coming out through the other avos, right? Each one representing a different midah. And they are the opposite midos of Bilam. Okay, now, let's add one more thing. It says by Avraham Avinu, Vayachavoshes Chamoro. Avraham Avinu saddled his donkey and rode on it. Says the Maral, what is the symbolism? That Avraham Avinu was in total control of his physical material side. The Chamor is Chomer, is materialism. When you saddle the donkey, you put a yoke on that donkey and it is under your control. It accepts a saddle, right? Animals resist being saddled because they want to be free. A saddle is a sign of control. You're in control of the animal. You are riding on that donkey and you're directing it. It's a symbolism. Avraham Avinu controls his material, physical side. Total control. And with that total control, he was able to go to the Akedah and be willing to sacrifice his son and in end have that ability to come face to face with God. To come to Har Hashem Yeroya, the mountain where God is seen and sees. However, Bilam is riding on a female donkey, Asono, without a saddle. Doesn't say he saddled it up. Okay? And he, what's it called, gets on his donkey, the female donkey, and the Gemara says that Bilam actually had relations with his donkey. That doesn't necessarily mean literally. What it means is Bilam was not in control of his physical material side, but he was attached to it, intimately. The physical material side of him ruled him, pulled him wherever it wanted to go. And because he wasn't in control, wherever there was a conflict between his physical side and the spiritual side, the physical side resisted and went off the derech. That's exactly what happened with the donkey. When the donkey came confronted with the angel, when the physical side is in conflict with the spiritual, the angel standing there not letting the physical side go wherever it wants, this donkey, so what does the donkey do? It goes off the derech. Three different ways. Okay, and it pulls Bilam with it off the derech, and therefore, right, and Bilam has to beat the donkey to get it back on the path. Meaning, it's not something that happens naturally. By Mei Mariv, last week's Sedra, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock and was supposed to give the water naturally. And not hit it. And then the Jewish people would have learned the following. Just like the rock, in the beginning of the 40 years, had to be hit to get its water. But after 40 years of learning Torah, it becomes natural to do what God wants. So too, we don't need to be hit anymore. We can do God's will naturally. Because in the beginning, you can hit a Jew and make him do what's right, because deep down, he wants to do what's right. So you're just beating away the things that prevent him from doing what he really wants to do. But eventually, you don't have to beat him. Eventually, that which he wants to do naturally comes to the surface. That's the ideal. To naturally want to do God's will. It's a natural thing. You don't have to be forced to do it. Bilam had to force his physical side to comply with spirituality. Whereas the ideal is to be in total control where the physical and the spiritual mesh together. And you direct the physical towards the spiritual. That's what Avraham Avinu was able to do. That's why the Gashmias, if you're not in control of it, and it's pulling you wherever it wants to go, when there's a conflict between physicality and spirituality, so that happens in three ways. The first time the donkey went out into a field, okay, a place that was totally open. That's the kind of Yetzer Hara, the Midah Ra'ah of Nefesh Rechava, lust. There's no limit to it. It's all open, preachers, right? I want, and the more you want, the more you have, the more you want more. There's never an end. The person doesn't die with half of what he wants in his hand, because you always want double of what you have. So that's the first Yetzer Hara, the Midah Ra'ah of Nefesh Rechava, lust, which is represented by the donkey totally going off the derech to a place that has no barriers, no limits. That's lust. And that's what's called the opposite of Avram's Midah of Gomlei Chasadim, of being a Baal Chesed, of Nefesh Shefela, of having a desire, very limited desires, not avarice, lustful desires, right? And then you are able to, what's it called, to give yourself boundaries. You're not open, right? You know how to take things in the right amount and use them properly. So that's the first Yetzer Hara, first bad Midah. And that corresponds to Pesach. Think about it. What does Pesach represent? That we are separated different than the nations of the world. We don't follow all the things that they, all the Yetzer Haras that they have in this world. We know how to hold ourselves back, okay? We eat lechem only, we eat matzah, not chametz. We're able to control our lusts and desires, okay? And therefore, later on, when Bilam gave the brachas to the Jewish people, the first bracha corresponded to this. This is the first essence of the Jewish people. We are not lustful, and therefore we're gomlei chasadim, we're not takers, but we're givers. And this is represented, and that part of our essence that comes from Avraham Avinu, it represents the Yontif of Pesach, where we were separated from the nations of the world. This is the basic difference between us and the nations of the world. We are like God, and God's major Midah is Chesed, Olam Chesed Yibonet. The whole Midah of God that led to the creation of the world was His Chesed. He wanted to do good for us. So we emulate God in that respect. That's the Midah of Avraham Avinu, and that is Pesach. Pesach is where God separated us from the nations of the world, took us out of Egypt. He had an attachment to us. Atav v'chartan l'mikol ha'amim. And that is what's it called, the first essence of the Jewish people, and that's what Bilam blessed us the first thing. And it corresponds to Pesach, and it corresponds to Avraham Avinu, and Chesed, and not being lustful, avarice. You're a giver, not a taker. Then, the second time, the donkey went off the derech because of the conflict between it and the angel, was it went to a vineyard where there was a fence on both sides. Okay, this represents the Yetzer Hara of Gaiva, of haughtiness. Person becomes drunk with his own covet. Right, you get drunk with COVID. That's the symbolism of the vineyard. And you don't know how to hold yourself in to your place and know your place, because there are two gedarim, there are two fences in this world. A fence that separates you from God and a fence that separates you from people greater than you. Both sides are the fence. Fence to God, the fence to people. And if you're a haughty person, then you don't know how to align yourself with God or align yourself to people. You break down both of those fences. So that is what's called haughtiness. And that is Ruach Gavoa, a high, haughty spirit, okay? Which the opposite of that is a lowly spirit, okay? And that corresponds to Shavuos and to Yitzchak Avinu. Why? Yitzchak is Busha, being humble and shameful, knowing your place, knowing that you're not a haughty person, a brazen person. Brazenness and haughtiness go together. And when you're, what's it called? And that corresponds to Shavuos. Why? Because on Shavuos, we stood by Har Sinai, heard God speak to us, and the purpose of Maimed Har Sinai was in order that God should elevate us. We should know our own self-worth. We shouldn't feel we're nothing, but we should know our place, we should know that we have shame, what's right to do, what's wrong to do, not being brazen and haughty, but being shameful. And Maimed Har Sinai, standing at Har Sinai and speaking face to face with God, instilled in us shame and embarrassment. The ability to be shameful and embarrassed, and therefore that's what Shavuos is. Shavuos is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. I accept the yoke of heaven and know that God is bigger than me. And the Ol HaMitzvahs. And that's how that attaches me to God, through love. God loved us, or haftos on him. He did that by giving us mitzvahs and making us holy through the mitzvahs, and that we can attach ourselves. So by knowing your place and keeping God's mitzvahs and not feeling haughty and knowing that you have to fit into the framework that God made, that is what Shavuos is all about. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim et Ol HaMitzvos. And that is the opposite of haughtiness and brazenness. It's the ability to know your place and to feel shame and embarrassed if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing. So it's accepting what to do, what you're supposed to do. And that's Shavuos. And that corresponds to the second bracha that Bilam gave us, where Bilam says, Lo hibit ovin b'Yaakov, God doesn't see sin amongst the Jewish people, or Omo b'Yisrael, truas melech bo, God's friendship. But it also means that his shofar, the fear of God, is instilled within us. Okay? And that way, we have that attachment to God. We're not haughty people or brazen people. We know how to stand before God with shame and embarrassment. We know our place. That's the bracha, the second bracha. And lastly, that's why it mentions in that bracha that we get up in the morning and say Kriya Shema and go to sleep with Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is accepting God's yoke and his mitzvahs. So that is this second bracha. The second essence of the Jewish people is we have the ability to be ashamed. We have fear of God. We are not haughty people, right? We don't have a nefesh gavoa. We have a nefesh ruach nemucha, not a ruach gavoa. All these things, and that comes from Yitzchak, and that is Shavuos. And finally, the third time that the donkey goes off the derech is to a place where they can't move left or right, and that's the idea of jealousy, bad eye, ayin raw, which is kina, which is the opposite of rachmonim, having mercy on yourself and others. And the idea is, and that represents also the Torah is called Rachmana. Yaakov Avinu represented the Amud HaTorah. Why? Because kina, jealousy, totally destroys you. It rots your essence. If you're jealous of other people, that means you don't appreciate who you are and you want to be somebody else. So you can't be somebody else and you lose what you have because you don't use it. So there's no place to turn, not left or right. You can't be you, you can't be somebody else. You lose everything. And therefore, when you learn Torah, which is the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, you develop your potential. You know who you are. It brings out the best in you. Everybody has their share in Torah. So you have Rachmanis on yourself. And God has Rachmanis on you to develop your potential. And that's connected to Sukkos. What does Sukkos tell me? That this world is a temporary place. But in this world, God gives us kavod. He gives us what's called honor. Right? And he gives everybody honor. Everybody is in their own little sukkah. Everybody has their place. They shouldn't be jealous of somebody else. And collectively, we're surrounded with tremendous honor from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't have to be jealous of anybody. Because God gives the honor to everyone collectively. And everybody has their little sukkah, which is anyway only temporary, that they can live in and not be jealous of somebody else's sukkah. Because the sukkah is anyway only temporary. And that is Ratzisa Banu. God wants what's in each and every one of us. Each and every person has their potential. And God wants Banu, what's in us. He wants our potential. And that's why Yaakov Avinu is the source of unity. Because this Rachamim brings unity. I have an eye in Tova, I have a good eye. I want good for other people, not just for myself. And with that, you have what's it called? That's the Rachamim, of unity. Everybody wants for everybody else. They want for themselves. There's a unity amongst the Jewish people. That's Yaakov Avinu, and that's Sukkos. Sukkos is everybody sitting in the same sukkah, surrounded by the Anoni HaKavod, unified with honor, and everybody happy with their own sukkah, not looking at somebody else's sukkah. There's the physical sukkah, which you sit in your own, and then there's the sukkah that envelops all the Jewish people together. And that's why the third bracha is Matovu Alecha Yaakov. How beautiful are your tents. You don't have an ayin hara, you're not looking one into the other, right? But you're happy with what you have, right? And not looking what somebody else has. You're not jealous people. You're not people with an ayin raw. You have an ayin tova. And that's why it also applies to the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, because that's where the avoda, that's where service of God, where everybody has their share in serving God. So, and therefore, the chesed that a person has, which is Pesach and Avraham Avinu, and being not lustful, that corresponds to the kedusha of the person, where you're not a lustful person. You use the world in a very positive way of sanctifying it and using it in service of God. And then the ruach nemucha, not being a haughty person, right, and accepting God's kingdom, that's kedusha sazman. That's showing that you understand that this world is only a temporary place. There's nothing to be haughty about, and make yourself subservient to God in this temporal world. That's the holiness of time. And then there's makaris makomo. A person knows his place. He's not jealous of other people. He knows his place, right? That's kedushas makom, the kedusha of place. So everything fits together. There's these three kinds of kedusha, the three midos that are the basics of Avram, which manifested themselves through the other avos, and they are representative of the three yamin tovim. And the opposite of that is Bilam's donkey going off the derech because of these three sins. And therefore, how do you have a right to uproot a nation that is the antithesis of you? They're for the good, you're for the bad. And therefore, in the end, Bilam was forced to recognize the milus of the Jewish people, and each bracha fits a different aspect of the essence of the Jewish people. Just to end, there's two interesting things I found. One is that Bilam was incapable of fulfilling the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, of going up three times a year to the pilgrimages. Even if he would have been Jewish, he would have been exempt from that mitzvah. Why? Because it says that a blind person, even if you're blind in one eye, you're exempt because you can't see as you're being seen. God sees you with two eyes. You don't go with seeing with one eye. And a crippled person can't make Aliyah. He can't walk up the mountain. Bilam was crippled. His leg was crushed by the donkey. And he was blind in one eye. When he looked at the yichus of the Jewish people, he saw he looked at the tremendous purity of Jewish genealogy. He got blinded in one eye. So he was an ayin ra. What? He got blinded in one eye. Huh? Why? Because he looked at the purity of the Jewish people that wasn't proper for him. It blinded his eye. He was too dazzled by this purity wasn't for him. So he got blinded in one eye. Also, it says he had one eye because he had only a bad eye. Everybody has two eyes. You can see in three dimensions. With one eye, you only see in two dimensions. You have a bad eye. So Bilam, therefore, could never fulfill the mitzvah of going to see God, have that attachment, because he was blind in one eye, had a bad eye, right? And he also was crippled. He couldn't, elevate his leg, his material possessions. So he was a person who was into COVID, he was into kina, and he was into lust. All these things represented his flaws of not being able to sanctify the material world, and that's the opposite of lust. That's the crushed foot, right? Not to elevate himself to God, but to feel haughty, right? To lord over God, not to feel contrite in front of God. So he couldn't go up the mountain, right, to go see God. And he had an ayin ra, kina. So he couldn't fulfill this mitzvah. He was the antithesis of the Jewish people who were able to see God. He couldn't even see, like the Meshech Chochma says, the angel. But he was representative of the fact that he had the flaws that kept you from being able to fulfill this mitzvah and ascend and come face to face with God. And lastly, it says that the three Yomim Tovim are a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel also contained these three sins. It was idolatry, which is more or less, what's it called, a person thinks that he can make his own God. Right? He makes God, not God makes him. That's haughtiness. And by the ego, they were over on Gili Arayas, it says, that they were lustful and they were immoral. By the ego, it says they didn't serve the ego except to be mater Arayas before Hesia. They were immoral, promiscuous in serving the eagle. They danced around the river promiscuously. And lastly, it says they killed Chur, which is Ayin Ra, which is the opposite of Rachmanis, murder, bad eye, right? Being jealous of other people and basically killing them with your eye. That was representative of a murder. So all these three sins were represented by the eagle. And one would think that maybe that's the essence of the Jewish people. So the three regalim show us it's not true. The essence of the Jewish people is what's represented by the Shalosh Regalim. How do I know which one's the essence and which one not? Because how many hours did they sin with the Egel? 6 hours, it says. Boshesh Moshe, for 6 hours they had the Egel, they served it, and then Moshe came back 6 hours later, 6 hours late, and broke the Egel. So for 6 hours they served the Egel. How many hours are there in the total of all the Yomim Tovim? So there's 7 days of Pesach and 7 days of Sukkot, because Shemini Atzeres is a separate Yontif. 7 days and 7 days, and 1 day of Shavuos. Those are the Shalosh Regalim. How many days altogether? 15. How many hours in 15 days? 15 times 24? 360. How much is 360 more than 6? 60 times. When you have something that gets lost 60 times more, it's bottled. It's nullified. So the Chet HaEgel was nullified in the days of Yontif. And therefore, what's it called? And therefore, it shows that what we did by the Egel is not our essence. Our essence is what's represented by the Shalosh Regalim. Okay.